You know, we were so blessed in the revival this week, and you know, it's always good whenever that we sit under the Word of God. You know, this day in which that we live, and I hate to sound like a downer about it, but you know, we really don't have much prospect as far as what the final outcome is going to be. We're told in the Word of God that we will see tribulations and trials, things happen. As was preached several times in the revival, we'll see all kinds of things that we never imagined would take place in our world. But you know, that's where that our faith comes in. And you know, in a revival like we just come from, it should give us more strength. We need to draw from it and realize those truths that have been preached by Brother Massey. He did a wonderful job. And I tried to talk him into staying, but he said, I've got a preaching appointment that I need to go to. And he said, ask everybody to pray for me as I stand in the pulpit. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 11th chapter of the book of the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to pick out just two verses of Scripture. So this will not be a lengthy reading today, but I would encourage you that later on, either in the day or through the week, to read the entire chapter, because it talks about what has been referred to as a roll call of faith. And oftentimes I've asked people, will your name be added to that? But I hope today that we realize that we have the same God, we have the same Savior, we have the same one leading us in this day and time that they did back in that era that they lived in. And even though that they went through horrible persecution, trials, standing before magistrates to give an account of why that they believed in the Lord, it was still that faith that God gave them that saw them through. So in the 11th chapter of the book of the Hebrew letter, we're going to read the first verse, and then we want to look at the sixth verse. First and sixth verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the confidence. It's the assurance. An assurance that's given unto us by God, not by the world, not by any entity in the world, but it's given unto us by God. Faith is a substance, assurance. It's divinely guaranteed of things hoped for. Not that we hope that things will turn out better, but we have a hope that's set before us. We have a hope that the world does not have. We have a hope today that will get us through the trials that we are going through. And he goes on to say, evidence of things not seen. Have you ever seen heaven? Now, some people have probably dreamed about it, but have you seen heaven? How do you know that it's there? How can you be assured? We can be assured by the Word of God that tells us that there is a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for every one of His children that have been saved by His grace. And it's a hope that is set before us. I like the song that says, this world is not my home. Did you know that? Well, preacher, I've got a home and so many acres and this and that and the other. But, you know, really, that's not your home. I hope that that would sink down with you today. This world is not the finality of it. If in this world we have hope in Christ, if it's just in this world alone, Paul said in one place, we would be of all men most miserable. But Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I don't know that time, whenever that he's coming back for us, for his redeemed, for his blood-washed band, but I do know that he's coming. And the Bible says, as we quoted, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Without this faith that we talk about, it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not only those that diligently seek him for salvation, but those that diligently seek him to walk in his will and to walk with him today. The only encouragement that I can give you in the days to come is to walk in faith with the Lord. Walk hand in hand with him. Don't put confidence in all the things that man has set before us, but put confidence in him today. Now, we're justified by faith. It takes faith in order to be saved. God does not save an individual against their will. He does not. But it does take faith in order to be regenerated, in order to be saved. The Bible tells us in one place that this was the whole crux of the Apostle Paul's message on his way to Rome in the 20th chapter of the book of the Roman letter. Paul gathered all of the elders from Miletus, or to Miletus. And he said, I leave this with you. He said, I've done all that I know to do. I preached all that God has given me to preach. And he said, I've testified unto the Jews and unto the Greeks, repentance towards God. And what else? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us over in one place, we're justified by faith before God. How can anything or anyone that is guilty spiritually in the sight of God be made right in the sight of God? We can't do it ourselves. We cannot bring forth what God requires in order to merit a home with him in heaven. We cannot cleanse ourselves. We can't cleanse anyone else. David said over in one place, he said, no man by any means can redeem his brother. It's impossible. But we do find today that we are justified by two things. What are those two things today? First of all, we're justified by Christ's resurrection. Do you know that Christ has resurrected from the dead? Do you know that? Yes. How do you know that? What lives down inside here? Christ. Who's coming back one day? Christ. Who's going to walk with us between those two times, between salvation and also when he comes back? Christ. And our faith and our confidence is in him. David said in one place, some people, they have their confidence in horses. Now, this is not anything against horses. I'll kind of point that out. But back in that day, armies and their might and their power were measured by what kind of cavalry that they had. And the one that had the best cavalry, the best armament, and the best chance of winning a battle or winning a war was those that had the most horses or the most chariots or the most weaponry today. But David said, there are some that trust in that alone. And you know, if you read history today, you know that not just the strong and just the mighty and the one with all this armament and all this to go to war, they didn't always win the battle. I watched a movie one time, it depicted the Revolutionary War. And you talk about odds against a group of people wanting to get their freedom from England, and nothing against England, but they wanted their liberty. They wanted to form a new country. And there was not hardly anything on the horizon that showed them that they had any chance of ever winning a war with Great Britain. But you know, I watched the scenes of how that they used what they had, and they used it in defense of their homeland and everything. So the war does not always go unto the mighty, unto those that are powerful, but the war goes unto those whose God is the Lord today. He justifies us by faith. We're made just before God. And the Bible tells us over in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what the world is looking for today. That's what everyone is clamoring. That's what summits are for over in the Middle East and in Washington and places like that. They're looking for peace. And the Bible says over in one place, they'll say, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Do you know why? Because there's no peace down inside of the heart of man. And as long as he's at enmity with God, as long as he's separated from God, as long as he's not made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll have no peace whatsoever. But we're justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification makes it just as though we'd never sinned. God casts our sins from behind his back as far as even the east is from the west. And having been justified, we have access by what? We have access by faith, in able to stand in this grace that we have been justified in. In other words, we are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after that we're saved, does it end? We're signed, sealed, and delivered. We're in his keeping, never to go under the yoke of bondage of sin again. No possibility of us going to hell. We know we're going to heaven. But does faith end? He plants faith within us. We have been justified by faith, but we also live in faith. That faith that he has put within us. Now, sometimes whenever that we leave a service or we leave church or revival or whatever, we just, you know, kind of go our own way. I'm not criticizing. I'm probably about the world's worst. But, you know, each and every day we have to live in faith. Have you ever read about people like Elijah? Where that day by day by day, Elijah had to depend upon God. And he had faith in God. And the reason why was because that God had called him for a special purpose as a prophet and as a sounding board for God to the nation of Israel. Now, God has called you. You might say, well, I don't feel like I'm called to preach. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God has chosen, has called each and every one of you. And you might use every excuse that you can think of to say to God, you know, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't sing like Sister Sherry or like Sister Velma or even Sister Karen and others today. I can't sing like them. I can't testify. I can't preach. But you know, God has called you and chosen you. Out of all creation, out of all the people in this area, God at some point has saved your soul, and he has a special purpose. And what he is calling you to do today is to live in faith. The Bible tells us over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Holy Spirit helps us towards becoming more Christ-like and walking in faith. That's what the Spirit of God does for us after that we're saved, we're sealed, but then He teaches and leads us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What's being crucified about me? The flesh, my wants, my desires, my aspirations, things I want to do, things I want to accomplish. I've said this before, and I've learned it the hard way. If you want to hear God laugh, tell Him what your plans are. Because I doubt very much that God will go along with him and say, oh yeah, Paul, that just really sounds like a great idea. I'll help you do that. But He may not want me in that avenue or that venue that I think that He wants to call me in. I never imagined that I would one day be in this pulpit and be preaching the gospel in this manner and in this way. Boy, I had some plans. Boy, I'm going to go with medical missionaries. Whoa, I'm going to be the next Albert Schweitzer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And God said, no. No. That's not what I want you to do. Here is what I want you to do. There is a people that need you. You talk about somebody stubborn and walked into my wife one day and I said, I'm not going to pastor that church. And she didn't say a thing. She didn't remark anything. She just kept right on working. Honey, did you hear me? I'm not going to pastor that church. I'm through pastoring. I'm through preaching in the pulpit. I'm done. And all she did was to say, you tell that to God and see how far you get. And then one Wednesday morning, I woke up and my heart was in His hands and I was in agreement with Him. Not that necessarily I feared Him, but somehow He planted a faith within me that, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm to do it until everybody runs me off and says, okay, we're through with you. That sort of thing. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to be here for as long as God wants me and as long as you want me to be here. And I pray and I ask that you pray for me, that God will help me to glean out of the Scriptures, out of His Word, something that will be a benefit unto you. And what I say unto you today is you've got to day by day by day by day live in faith. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not so much that I have faith that the sun's going to come up in the east. It's not that I have faith that my car is going to turn over and it's going to go on down the road. But it is a awareness and an assurance that God is going to be with me. It dwells within me. The day that it was planted there was when I was saved, and I'm going to live in it. And I know we use the word committed and commitment and so on and so forth, but I want to challenge you and I want to challenge me. Live in faith. Live in the faith of God. Live in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in the faith that brought the apostles and the disciples and all the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Live in that kind of faith. And you might say today, well, I'm not like them. I'm not like Moses. I'm not like Abraham. But do you want to know something today? They had their problems. They had their trials. They made their mistakes. They weren't perfect. And I want to encourage you today. I sound like a coach, don't I? I want to encourage you today. Don't listen to Satan telling you you can't do anything for God. Stop listening to him. And if it ever comes to your mind that, I can't do all these things. Oh, yes, you can with God's help. Oh, yes, you can. And I want to tell you, if you want a blessing today, just follow in that faith And I want you to know that God will use you. He will use you. Several years ago, I was between jobs, and I was called to help at a pharmacy that was just starting over in Lebanon, Missouri. And when I got there, we didn't do very much. Just sat and talked to the technician that was there. And we got to talking about church. You know, I'm a little bolder than I used to be about things like that, wherever that I might be found. But I remember Rochelle was her name, and she was asking me questions about God and about church and so on and so forth. And you know, whenever that I visited with her, she said, you know, when I go to church with my mom, she said, I can't explain it. There's just this feeling that I need more, that I'm not right, that something's wrong with me. And she said, I go up and I pray with my mom, but I go away dissatisfied. And I said, Rochelle, next time that you feel that, please ask God to show you. Ask God to reveal to you today what it is that He wants to do. Well, time went on, and she got a hold of me at another pharmacy. She said, I've been looking all over for you. I just want to tell you this much. Thank you for talking to me. She said, I went to that altar, so to speak, and she said, I began to pray, and I began to ask God to open things up to me, to reveal things to me. And she said, and you want to know something? A peace came into my heart, and I know that I'm saved. I said, that's it, Rochelle. That's salvation. And my friend, I want you to know that was one of the most satisfying experiences that I've ever had. I just pointed her towards the Savior. I said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's part of living in faith. Making yourself available unto God. Making yourself there where that God can use you. And God can get glory from you. And I want you to know that it puts more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It puts a feeling like I'm close, very close to God. Now, not only do we live in faith, but we're also to walk in faith. We walk in faith, and our life becomes a life of obedience unto God. Obedience unto God is part of walking by faith. Now, we walk by faith, and you know, the Bible says over in one place, it says that faith without works is dead. It's still faith, but it doesn't do anything. And you're still saved, and you'll still enjoy the glories of heaven. But my friend, there's also, and we don't preach this much anymore, there's also rewards in heaven for those who have been faithful. I had a lady one time say to me, well, you know, that's not quite fair. You know, we all got the same salvation, did the same thing. And here somebody's got a reward, however that is, and I might not. And I said, Kathy, I want to tell you something. I said, our whole line of ambitions and what we're striving for and everything is going to change because we won't have the envy and the jealousy and so on and so forth. And we'll see the Apostle Paul walking around on the streets of glory, and whatever his reward looks like today, we'll say, boy, he deserves it. Thank God for him. And there are rewards to strive for, but you know those rewards are to honor and glorify Jesus Christ today. The Bible tells us over in the book of the Revelation, it says that there were 24 elders, that whenever that they began to sing praise unto Christ, what John saw, they would sing praises unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and those elders would fall down and they would worship Him, and the crowns that they had on, they cast at His feet. What were they doing? They were honoring Him with what they had been rewarded with, and saying in essence, you deserve, you helped us to walk in faith, you helped us to labor. You helped us to spread the gospel. And now this that we have earned, that God has given unto us as being faithful servants, full of faith, walking in faith, living in faith, it's all yours, dear Jesus, because without you today, my salvation would not be complete. And I would not be in this place today if it had not been for you. When we live in faith, after that we're saved, we are believing inwardly. We're allowing faith to dwell within us. Do you know what the opposite of faith is today? Doubt. And I'm not going to say that doubt is necessarily the worst sin in the world. But whenever that we get to doubting God, then it becomes a hindrance and a stumbling block. And we get to the place to where that, no, God, I can't do anything. I'm going to stay home. I'm just going to stay away from it all. I can't do anything. I doubt that you can use me. My friend, look at the characters of the Bible that doubted, but yet God did a 180-degree turn with them. And they overcame their doubt, and they continued to try to walk in faith, and God blessed them. In walking by or in faith, we walk obedient unto God. Whatever He wants us to do, however that He wants us to serve Him, we do it. We obey. And you know, the Bible tells us, and this is the lesson that Saul, the first king of Israel, never learned, that obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto God better than the fat of rams. Saul never learned it. He never had a clue. But I want you to know, to obey God in faith, no matter what the cost might be, what may result out of it, walk in faith after this revival. Walk in faith. Live in faith. You're justified by faith today. You have been made a child of God by faith. Faith is a heavenly entity today that God places within His children. Use that faith today and walk close unto Him. And take the things of this revival today. Take the things that we have experienced, that we've witnessed, and maybe you weren't here all the time. You know, a lot of times just hearing the good news or hearing about a good meeting or a good service or whatever, you relate it to somebody that might not be there, and you know it can encourage them. And in this day and age in which that we live, we need to encourage and hold each other up, because the world is not going to do it. The world is not going to care. But one thing I want to leave with you, and I'll close. Brother Massey made this comment about you. And I want to commend you. I want you to know what he said. His honest sentiments. He said, I've never been in a more loving church where the people love one another. He said, I wish I could take you all down into Tennessee, into those churches down there, and teach them how to love each other once again. That's what he said about every one of you. Every one of you, some of you, he called by name. He said, I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for their love for one another. I'm thankful for their caring for one another. I'm thankful, he said, whenever that you come into the church, you hear people visiting and talking and singing. He said, oh, that's blessed unto me. He said, that's the way it should be. And Jesus said in one place, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. So as we close our few remarks this morning, live in faith, walk in faith, day by day, and words from his mouth, keep on loving one another. even as Christ has loved you. As we have a song, and as we have a hymn, I want to say I'm thankful to be the pastor of this church. I brag on you. I do. It's like you brag on your son, you brag on your daughter, and you know, hey, they're the greatest church that there is. No other place do I want to be than with you, or with you, or with you.